Hey, this is Marley Cox, tight end for the Indianapolis Colts, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Andy, Mike, and Jason, the Fantasy Footballers, back with you Thursday, March 18th. Mo Alley Cox bringing us into this episode of the show.
Gigantor.
Second round Tinder, Mo Alley Cox.
Some free agents still waiting for Gigantor-sized offers. I'm not sure when the shoe's going to drop on these wide receivers. Who Kenny knows? Galladay unsigned, Juju unsigned, Curtis Samuel unsigned, Will Fuller. I got more too. Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton.
Man. Yeah, it's not a good year to be looking for a lot of money.
Well, but you know who is signed.
I say you're waiting for the shoe to drop. Meanwhile, the toddler shoe did drop.
Are you referring to, what is it, 100-time Pro Bowler? A.J. Green.
A.J. Green, who is now on the Arizona Cardinals, if you did not hear, he signed a one-year deal. I think, Andy, A.J. Green is like is Jurassic Park now.
Where, what do you mean? Well, where I...
So much nostalgia. Yeah, so much like, belief in how good it was.
Like when you lived a lot of your life believing that Jurassic Park had won, it's like swept the awards.
Right.
The Academy Awards.
That is true, right, Brooks? Isn't that the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, Andy, A.J. Green, first ballot? Would he be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Of course he is.
He already is.
Look, I don't like the analogy because that insinuates Jurassic Park is not still great.
That is the big problem with the Jurassic Park analogy here, because A.J. Green is aged green.
Okay. Aged and gray?
Yeah, he's...
Look, I know people are waiting for my reaction because of last year. Last year's... Look, I'm more excited about the Cardinals picking up a Pro Bowl center in Rodney Hudson.
You don't have to hold back.
But I, look.
Andy was very excited when the news came through.
Was I?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right when it came out, you were like, yes.
Yes.
We got to go to we've got the film on it.
I'm not sure I was that excited.
Jason and I sat back and went, huh.
Well, that's where I'm at now. I'm at the hunt phase. But look, here's what I tweeted and here's what I believe. If A.J. Green has any game left.
Sure.
It is best suited in a non-number one role, which is what he will find himself in Arizona, with a good quarterback and a good offense. If you know, he's going to start on the outside opposite DeAndre Hopkins. It was a problem for Hopkins at times last year not to have somebody of any capability threatening on the other side. I say what you will about A.J. Green and where he's at. Still had 104 targets, still had some of the most uncatchable targets in football. Not a lot of separation. You can't really make a metric argument as to why A.J. Green is still good. Other than the fact that, you know, this is a renowned, say drafted to be great, but a player with a long history of being successful. He's still a big player. We talked a little bit about Dez Bryant and the fact that you're still a red zone threat when you're a certain size and not being the number one that a team has to lock down is going to make a difference on this team.
Yeah, it certainly could work.
For fantasy-wise, I'm not looking at A.J. Green going, oh, let's get him.
What sucks is, like, if you went back and if we were here, but it was 2018, and you had said that DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green are on the same team, people would lose their minds.
Yeah. I mean, David Johnson and Mark Ingram on the same team.
Exactly.
This is how it works. Eventually, they have to combine forces to get up to a certain level. But so that's one of many pieces of free agent news that we're going to talk about on today's show. Thank you both for holding down the episode on Tuesday. It was a great one. I was telling you, and Jake, I'm sorry, I didn't give Jagers any credit at all because he didn't say a lot. He didn't have a lot of commentary other than pro Bears biases, which we never, I mean, the last thing we would have is biases towards a certain team.
Of course.
But it's hard listening to the episode when big things are happening in free agency and wanting to weigh in while I'm listening and not having the right to do so.
Well, thankfully for you, then, the really big stuff, they waited for it to start happening until now.
Yeah, and you know what? The honest truth is this episode's being recorded late Wednesday. News is breaking every minute of every day. And some of those wide receivers I just listed off could have new homes.
Hopefully now, they do.
Would you rather have had Arizona? I'm curious. Would you rather have had us pick up T.Y. Hilton at this stage in his career or A.J. Green?
I think Hilton.
I would go Hilton, but I would prefer neither. Neither?
That's where you are concerned. You're not concerned about insulting A.J. Green or T.Y. Hilton.
No way.
It's, wait, did I say
neither? Is it neither or is it neither?
Well, is it either or either?
Give me Marvin Jones and the deal he got, but we'll talk about that and all the free agents.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about.
Movement.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. Get all of our content over there. You can watch our reactions to various bits of news this offseason. Please check out the Ultimate Draft Kit at ultimatedraftkit.com as well as the UDK Plus if you want Dynasty Pass access. That content is available now.
It's also updating immediately. Like when this news breaks, the
we
team
lock
pages,
some of our team members in a room and they're responsible to keep that thing updated.
That's right. Don't let them out.
Don't let them out. 24/7. Kyle is just, we don't condition the room.
He works best when he's just covered in sweat.
Yeah. So that's what we do. Check that out at ultimatedraftkit.com, Twitter at the FF Ballers. Before we get into all the free agent news, let's do some buy sell.
Buy or sell, presented by Pristine Auction.
All right. Adam Thielen, is he a top 10 wide receiver in 2021? Buy or sell, top 10 in 2021? That's quick sell for me.
Yeah, top 10 is that's a high bar. Where would we have to move that bar, though, so it's not a quick sell? 15?
Well, we did. That would be a good threshold because we just did Godwin and who was the other name we just did for top 15?
Allen Robinson.
So we did Godwin and Allen Robinson. Mike, it was the episode you were gone. Mm-hmm.
I remember it.
Adam Thielen, top 15. I will sell that.
So he has been top 10 three of the last 4 years. Last year, he
14 touchdowns.
He touchdowned his way to being a top 10 guy, but
it's a good quality to have.
Yeah.
Being able to touchdown.
He had never really done that for us, but he had also never played without Stephon Diggs. But now you have Justin Jefferson.
This?
Wait, is A.J. Green on our desk?
Do you see this? If Brooks put a little A.J. Green next to me on the desk?
Oh,
I knew I was feeling older today.
He's in the right spot.
Nice.
But, I mean, he's still had over 100 targets in only 15 games. I think Adam Thielen still has ability, but top 15, I mean, that line is going to be very, very close, but...
Well, look,
for fantasy purposes, I'm going to sell this because I still think Adam Thielen is great. Nothing that I saw on film said he lost anything. And the reason that he had 14 touchdowns last year, he was unguardable near the goal line. I mean, it was like an automatic. If you got down there and you have him run some of his little fancy routes, he's wide open to catch a ball. It was fantastic.
Oh, so fancy.
But the reality is he's a guy who's never hit double-digit touchdowns in his career before this season. He had 14 touchdowns, so it's likely to regress there. Didn't hit 1,000 yards, and I think that this is a high bar. So I'm gonna sell the top 15.
For what it's worth, when we debated Godwin and Allen Robinson, they had both tied at wide receiver 15 in points per game, which was like 13.7 last year. So it'll be close for Thielen because of how involved he is in this offense. Obviously, Jefferson we have, I imagine, higher next year.
So, but
it could be sneaky.
But if you're not buying him as a top 15, is he a strong wide receiver too, though?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Man, I will love him in the draft season because what Justin Jefferson is going to do to his, you know, his age combined with Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen will be a value this next year in drafts. He will not be drafted in the top 15, no way.
So then top 15 is kind of inconsequential, because if you're talking he finishes 16 to 23, then you're still going to be very happy. So while you're not as bullish on Adam Thielen as we once were, you're still into the idea of him being on your fantasy team.
Yeah, because he's going to be a lot more affordable this season.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's probably why Brooks put the line at top 10, because he's been top 10 three out of 4 years, and that is not a fair expectation for him moving forward. All right, that was Buy or Sell from our friends at Pristine Auction. Use the code BALLERS over there. You get $10 towards your first sports memorabilia purchase. I almost bought myself a Larry Fitzgerald rookie card. A little PSA 10 Larry Ooh. Fitzgerald rookie card. Check out all of their sports memorabilia at pristineauction.com. We're kind of skipping the news section because it's all free agent news, and we'll get right into it.
Free agent frenzy.
All right. We Kenny G doesn't have a home yet, does he, Brooks?
Nah.
No one?
How about now?
Doesn't it? I think you mentioned it on Tuesday. It feels really inevitable to me that he becomes a New York Giant. Like, that's
I've seen
where
even
I think Kenny
lot.
Golladay is just going to end up.
Even after they already in free agency signed a top 10 NFL draft pick at wide receiver? Are you kidding me? They've already found their solution.
Who was the – oh, was it John Ross?
Yeah. Yes. It was John Ross.
I saw that. It was a one-year deal, right?
For
it's
nothing.
Like a couple million dollars?
Yep.
Yeah, when I saw that deal, I almost felt sad for John Ross.
I felt sad for me because – I'm a little selfish, but more importantly, dynasty roster.
Man. Oh, I remember that trade.
I forgot. No, we can't talk about it now. Back then, the trade made sense.
Did
now
it?
Now the trade
this is how trades work.
Now the trade is a nightmare of a disaster.
Why don't you
for
read
me.
That one out?
All right. So, and we made this trade, I believe, on air. I think it was the Footcast, but
it's pretty close. Yeah.
I traded a very young Mark Andrews for a very young John Ross. And I do not have control of the soundboard, but Andy does.
Dynasty trades are great, man. They're funny. When you look back, we log all of our dynasty trades in our main league, and you look back and there's just some ridiculous trades that were all logical in the moment.
Mm-hmm. But I was sad because I did have hope as one of the fastest guys in the NFL, top 10 draft capital, that some stupid team would pay up and give him a long-term shot. Wasn't the season to hit the free agent market, but...
The Giants paid down for him.
Yeah.
I don't think that this seasonality has
anything to do with... totally because of the salary cap.
If the salary cap was big, they'd be paying for John Ross. All that production. John Ross or A.J. Green?
John Ross.
Oh, come on.
I'm not even joking.
I know you're not joking.
I would take John Ross.
Is
and hope.
If you're wanting to stretch the field.
Oh, sure.
It's not going to be A.J. Green.
Hasn't been John Ross either. All right, free agent frenzy time. I listened to you fine gentlemen break down your Jonnu Smith analysis, and the Patriots went out and signed another tight end, Hunter Henry. 3-year, $37 million deal. I mean, Jonnu Smith, Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, now Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry has never surpassed 700 receiving yards. Jonnu's never surpassed 450.
I don't believe Aguilar's gotten to 900 before. And Bourne obviously has not done a lot. The Patriots are better, and all of these individual players are worse. This is a terrible fantasy situation for everyone not named Cam Newton. I think it's terrible for Hunter Henry, terrible for Jonnu Smith, terrible for everybody.
I'm
not going to disagree. I don't want Jonnu now. I'm not going to take the chance. Hunter Henry. The comparisons are right in front of you. Of Bill Belichick looks like he's trying to recapture the magic of Gronk and Hernandez, but. And I'm with you guys for this year. While it's Cam, I'm not very interested. But Dynasty, they're going to get a quarterback. Well, they're going to take a shot anyways. I don't know if it'll work out, but They will likely draft a quarterback. There's whispers of them moving up in this year's draft to try and get a guy. Maybe someone drops. Maybe who's the kid out of Florida? Trask?
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Trask. So there are options. So, like, thinking longer term, are you completely out on the possibility of Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I am. I am
it's
as
just
well.
It's terrible because you're just taking away their ceilings. When you share the field, when you go in a situation now, yeah, sure, Cam Newton. Maybe this was all a bunch of moves to make themselves attractive to a quarterback, even a free agent type of situation next year or a trade. Like, you have to have pieces that make a quarterback want to come and play for you that's not named Cam Newton. But you looked at Henry and you looked at Jonnu and you said, if they got this kind of money this offseason, you wanted them to be the guy.
Sure. It stinks for fantasy purposes, but I'm going to trust what Belichick is doing.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, why? We've been saying that for years and years and years with all these any.
I'm not excited for fantasy. I'm saying. Let me phrase that.
Okay, I thought you meant.
No, the Patriots. I think the Patriots are going to be way better.
Yes,
they're building their team where it's a defensive team, and they're going to have all of their.
They're going to be able to run 12 personnel really well. They're going to win games. I thought you were talking for fantasy.
No. For fantasy, I'm not super excited, but I'm not going to completely bury. Hunter and Jonnu for 3 years down the road.
Did Travis Kelce's ADP just go up one more spot into the first round?
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's like these were two more options of like, all right, maybe we'll have, you know, a good high value contract and a good landing spot for these two guys and have two more legitimate fantasy tight end options. And both of them were taken out at the knees. So
look, Jonnu Smith was, you know, some would argue Firkser was the number one tight end.
I was going to say, but Jonnu opened up a spot.
But Jonnu had a situation, Jason said it on the last show, great quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, featured in the offense, still wasn't a tight end you wanted to start every week. Hunter Henry had a best of all time rookie season from his quarterback in Los Angeles, still didn't want to start Hunter Henry every single week. I'm just disappointed for the tight end landscape that we always hope expands and does not contract. And this felt like, you know,
because we're all insane because it's the tight end position is always the same.
And they're not Gronk and Hernandez. No one will ever be that combination on the field again. And we will project them onto every tight end that wears a New England uniform for years. So Hunter Henry or Jonnu, let me just throw that out there.
Jonnu, easily Jonnu.
I would probably go Hunter Henry just because for fantasy purposes, I think Jonnu will be blocking more than Hunter Henry.
It's funny if you had both on your team, which you wouldn't necessarily want to have. It's going to be tough to know when to play who and how. Yeah,
but Jonnu is actually athletic. I really liked a good friend of the show, J.J. Zacharyson, did a study on breakout tight ends. Athleticism matters at the tight end position. We know that other positions can get away without that. You don't have to be an elite top tier athlete, but tight ends who break out, it matters. Like, look at Logan Thomas. I get it. He wasn't, you know, a top three guy, but he was usable for fantasy football. He broke out. He's a top tier athlete, and Jonnu was clearly Bill Belichick's number one priority.
That's fair.
In free agency. If that thing was signed before they had done anything.
That is true. Nelson Aguilar was a priority, and so was Kendrick Bourne. So it'll be interesting to see.
We're talking about tight ends.
Yeah, no, so. I get it.
Before we move.
Look, when you need to fight about some tight ends.
Yeah, that's true. Before we move into more of the free agent news, we want to thank Fight Camp for sponsoring today's show. They're bringing the boxing gym right to your home with a mix of cardio and conditioning for a full body workout. Fellas, my Fight Camp gear is at my house right now. I am so psyched to set this thing up.
Nice.
I'm excited to hit the bag. I'm really excited because I know that I can get my kids involved with this. Look, we've been trapped inside. Fight Camp is a safe workout for your kids because I don't have to worry about them hurting themselves with heavy weights. You just strap the gloves on and let them go to town. It comes Fight Camp comes with all the gear you need to box at home. But you got the freestanding punching bag, boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and their unique punch tracking sensors show real-time progress and stats on any iOS device. This new tech that's tracking your punch speed, you track the speed, the volume, the output. When you're beating up on a bag, I want to know that bag
hot stats.
I want to know that bag is beat.
I don't know that they could track mine. I mean, be like breaking the system.
If you want to check this out. And right now, Fight Camp is offering financing so you can pay over 24 months and get your new gym right now. Fight Camp offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to joinfightcamp.com/footballers. That's right. Give Fight Camp a try, and within 30 days, if you don't love it, send it back. You're going to get a refund. Fight Camp is the new way to work out at home. Make a change and join the community that teaches you the art of boxing while following the most intense workouts that are as quick as 15 minutes. To get free shipping on Fight Camp, just go to joinfightcamp.com/footballers. joinfightcamp.com/footballers.
All right, I'm not moving on. We're going to stay on Bill Belichick for a second.
Okay.
I would say that it's interesting that he signed two tight ends, because it hasn't – like, I think he's a great coach. And obviously people that want to just say Tom Brady was the whole reason, and he goes on and he wins a title, and Belichick sucks.
Right.
It hasn't all gone well for Bill, though, in terms of the way he's handled the draft and the way he's handled these picks.
Bill has sucked in the draft.
Like Sony Michel over Nick Chubb.
Yes.
Was that a good draft pick?
I 100% will concede that Belichick in the draft, that is his Achilles heel.
He hasn't even been able to pick up tight ends in the draft that we think are going to play that role.
But Bill Belichick evaluating NFL players when they're already in the league, he has done very well at making that happen.
Grabbing a Wes Welker.
Recognizing talent that is not being utilized properly and then maximizing those players.
We'll see if Cam Newton is the quarterback again this year or not, too.
Yeah.
Because that situation, he could be the fool in that one.
He did give up a second rounder for Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah,
he did. Just as a reminder.
Sure.
It's been a rougher run in terms of personnel in the on the field.
I do think their defensive moves have been great. Matthew Judon in free agency. They're going to be a very solid team. And unfortunately, that means worse things for fantasy, because their defense is going to be so good that their offense can run the ball with Cam, and it's probably going to be.
Yeah,
it sounds like they want a running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been kicking the tires on
Chris Carson.
Chris Carson and Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, it's best laid plans. I mean, you got to have a quarterback that doesn't put your defense in a horrible position. It happened a lot last year. Jameis Winston, a 1-year, $12 million contract. Sean Payton says that Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston will compete.
Yep, they
will.
Speaking
of quarterbacks putting their defense in bad positions, Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I think
that was when he couldn't see, Jason. He could see now.
LASIK.
He got the LASIK before the 30 interception season. Mike.
No. It was after. But it still wasn't good enough to beat out Taysom Hill when Drew Brees went down to injury.
It was good enough for that one bomb touchdown, though. I don't remember what game it was, but I remember Jameis came in and threw like a 50-yarder.
For fantasy purposes, we want Jameis Winston to win the job. Unless you're talking about Taysom Hill specifically.
Right, yeah.
Like, he'll be a good fantasy quarterback for your team, but Winston represents, I think, a better foundation for somebody like Michael Thomas in the offense, and Alvin Kamara. And that's
Adam
for now.
Troutman.
Yeah, there it is.
Mike has taken a real strong Mike-centered approach to this show lately. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
The A.J. Dillon talk. Adam
Troutman?
Oh, he absolutely has Adam Troutman.
Adam Troutman?
I didn't realize. Okay.
If Mike talks about him, just check the Dynasty roster. If you want to know what the show is going to be about the remainder of the show, we'll screenshot his Dynasty roster.
Yeah.
But they'll be adding pieces on the offensive side. These teams... I think one thing we've noticed with the juggling that even Kansas City's done on their offensive line, who, by the way, Kansas City was in on Trent Williams, who signed a long-term deal in San Francisco. Look, Kansas City, oh, they're in so much cap trouble. They lose their tackles. Oh, no. And then they go out and they sign almost two high-priced offensive linemen. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. These teams apparently can give 100-year contracts and void the back halves of these deals and move money around.
I agree completely with what you're saying all the time. We brought this up on the first free agency show. It used to be when we, on the prediction show, it used to always be, I look at who has cap room and then assign, but it doesn't really matter. The one exception I do think is the Saints. They are so, they did so many things already and juggled so many hoops just to get to where they are actually.
They juggled some hoops, Mike.
They
didn't jump through the hoops.
No. Well, that's amateur hour.
They juggled the hoops, then they jumped through them.
You can juggle hoops.
Yeah, you can juggle hoops. It's a lot easier to jump through a hoop than to juggle a hoop. So this was really difficult work.
Depends on the size of the hoop.
They're full hulas, Mike.
Full. That's a full hula.
Don't go full hula.
For fantasy purposes here, Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill. Genuinely, I believe that Taysom Hill will be the starter. And I believe that just based upon the fact that both of these guys were here and had the chance to compete to start, and they started Taysom Hill. I don't see why. I can't wrap my head around the rationale. One of the players
had already been on the team for a while. Jameis Winston was a new addition. The offseason was cut very, very short because of COVID. I think that played into it, that Taysom Hill just knew the offense better than Jameis at that point.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. I mean, they're both being paid enough to have that role, and I think that the passing volume is higher with Jameis Winston on the field. Total passing volume, which is what you'd want for the receiving options. Otherwise, Taysom Hill's a viable starter.
Yep.
Two one-year $10 million contracts went out to two quarterbacks.
Oh, baby.
Washington and the Bears, they both picked up a quarterback. They both paid $10 million for them. Washington picked up Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh!
Yes.
And the Bears signed Andy Dalton.
Yes, Ryan. The NFL is better when you are playing.
It is. So is Terry McLaurin.
So is Terry McLaurin.
What is it? I think Robert Wilson, our very own, put through the Terry McMagic out there.
Terry McMagic.
I mean, I don't know. He's trying to find the tie-in with Fitzmagic.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Okay. All right. You don't have to like it.
But I do like Ryan Fitzpatrick being on the Washington football team for Terry McLaurin and my champion, Antonio Gibson.
Who is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to be mentoring this year is the question. Will it be Taylor Heineke?
Yeah, I think it will be. I know that
that's going to matter to me on that whole, because you don't want to do the dance again. You don't want to go through the Ryan Fitzpatrick. All the options are great. Oh, boy, let's go. Oh, no, half the season's over and your players are now getting
Tua'd. If all of a sudden Mac Jones falls to them, they decide to take a quarterback in the first round, something like that, that will be annoying. I would much rather be Taylor Heineke, because I think that will be a 16-game season, probably a 15-game season. He'll be benched for one game. He'll throw five first-quarter touchdowns, be benched. He'll be back the next week. But
interceptions, I think you mean.
Yeah, what'd I say?
Touchdowns?
Well, both will happen. You don't get different games.
But you don't get benched usually for five first-quarter touchdowns.
I mean, maybe you're so far ahead. But
the hard part is Fitzpatrick seems to provide excitement for fantasy players, excitement sometimes in the NFL, but the team is so solid defensively. And you add this 38-year-old quarterback that takes chances and drives the ball down the field, but you made the playoffs on defense alone last year, and so he's not necessarily game manager Ryan Fitzpatrick. He is more roll the dice type of player in the NFL.
I would argue that the Dolphins would have made the playoffs. They were their defense was fantastic last year, and he played very well with them. I think he can do it.
I do too.
The question is going to be more about what does Dak do to the Cowboys, and is he more the problem for making the playoffs for the Washington football
team? I would still give Washington the edge. Washington is my favorite
NFC East team.
NFC East team right now.
I wonder how many times has Ryan Fitzpatrick made the playoffs?
That's a great question.
Buffalo, Tennessee, Houston, the Jets, Bucks, Miami. I'm not sure it's been more than
twice.
Once or twice. I know he made it Jets that one huge year when he supplied Decker and Brandon Marshall big numbers. But that might be I don't know. I'm not going to say only time, but I'm curious. Andy Dalton. Is that worse than signing nobody?
So is he worse than Nick Foles is what you're saying?
Yeah, they paid Nick Foles $20 million guaranteed last offseason, when they could have signed Andy Dalton, and now they sign Andy Dalton this offseason instead of trading for another quarterback.
I don't see any playoffs on
I'm not
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he might not have even made it.
I don't think he's ever been to the playoffs. How is that possible?
I feel like it's insulting that I point that out. Like, I feel like people are so in love with him, and they don't understand why everybody hasn't always kept him. But if you've been in the league since 2009...
No, he...
and you've never made the playoffs.
He has one winning season when he was 10-6 with the Jets. Technically, he had a winning season with Miami because he was 4-3.
It's a long career, though.
That is a very long career to have a lot of losses.
He came into the league in 2005. He's still in the league and hasn't accidentally
made
the playoffs.
Whatever, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I said 2009 because that's as far as our website shows career stats. That's a long, long time. We like watching him play football.
Yeah, that's it. And we like what he does to other offensive weapons.
Yeah, because he doesn't
think about Devontae Parker with and without Fitzmagic.
Think about him on that Tampa team.
So how? Let's get practical for listeners.
Okay.
Terry McLaurin, how much of your hype around Ryan Fitzpatrick will translate to moving him up in your rankings? Because we had dynasty talks about Terry McLaurin like 2 weeks ago. And it was CeeDee Lamb and Terry McLaurin. You know, so there's this part where you're like, oh, I don't know who the quarterback is. And you still don't know the future quarterback for Washington. But how do you feel about McLaurin this year value-wise?
McLaurin will be a top 24 wide receiver. I don't know if I'll go top 20 right now. We haven't done our projections yet for the Ultimate Draft Kit. It's just more about, you know, you've bought yourself a year with Terry McLaurin, where McLaurin is in quarterback purgatory. If Washington goes into the season with Taylor Heineke as the starting quarterback, you have very little confidence that McLaurin is going to be any sort of weekly reliable fantasy player for you. So it's more just about that. You're like, okay, we have a year. Let's see if Washington can figure out the longer term solution. But in the meantime, McLaurin is going to be really, really fun to watch, and he's going to be great for your fantasy team.
All right. Anything to add there, Jason?
Nope.
We didn't talk about Andy Dalton. Is that all right?
That's fine. I think the only thing we can throw in is that the Bears' Super Bowl odds when they signed Andy Dalton went from 40-1 to 50-1.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I think that's the first time anyone's ever signed a quarterback and had their Super Bowl odds.
Subtraction by addition.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's painful right now. Is Andy Dalton the best quarterback that Robinson could ever play with?
That he has ever played with? Yes. 100%.
Which is just confounding.
You guys realize...
Now, he has not signed his franchise tender, nor will he anytime soon, right?
Correct.
You realize Andy Dalton and Cam Newton were in the same draft class? Number one pick in the second rounder? Yeah.
Makes sense.
So that means that AJ Green was also that draft class, too.
That it does.
If Bill Belichick could, he'd prefer Cam Newton over Andy Dalton as a starter? What would you prefer right now?
If I had the Patriots team, I would prefer Cam Newton.
Okay. Corey Davis was signed by the Jets. 3-year, $37 million contract. Feels right. Corey Davis. Mims. Who's the one there?
Is it Corey Davis because of the money?
Yes. Right now in this stage of his career, he'll have that role.
Yeah,
which is maybe not a good role.
That's where I was going to say. He's probably the de facto number one for fantasy purposes and Jets fandom. You need to hope that Denzel Mims becomes the number one. Corey Davis is not a number one wide receiver. He's a good player. He is a good number two wide receiver. But I feel like you have enough evidence to say Corey Davis can't hold that down. Like, he can't take that from the defense. But Mims has at least the physical traits, and we've seen a couple flashes that maybe Mims can become a number one. He was a second round pick.
If it's Josh Fields, which it very well
Justin Fields,
it should be. And Jamison Crowder is still there, and Corey Davis and Denzel Mims. And you know, I remember last offseason we talked about the fact that very rarely, very low percentage of the time, a rookie quarterback sustains top 36.
Right.
Wide receivers. Are you in on anybody?
No, not really, because you're going to have three. So this is a good situation for a rookie to come into, I think, whether it is Justin Fields or whether it's Zach Wilson. I've seen more people saying Zach Wilson will go there recently. It's a good situation because you have three solid wide receivers in Mims, Crowder, and Corey Davis now. If I had to pick one of those, I would pick Mims because you're hoping. We know what we have in the other guys, and they're meh. And that's not who I want on my fantasy roster. I want the potential breakout. But I would agree with you that there will be a new rookie here, and they don't support a ton of, you know, wide receiver value, so I'm going to be out on everybody.
Not with all those targets Chris Herndon demands in the
offense.
Yeah,
Herndon, baby.
All right. Marvin Jones was signed to a two-year, $14 million contract by Jacksonville. You now have, presently, DJ Chark, LaVisca Chenault, Marvin Jones.
And Philip Dorsett.
Philip Dorsett added.
That's not
I don't know
bad,
how much I care about that.
That's really not a bad receiving corps. It actually reminds me a lot of the Jets in the sense that there's no true number one, but there's really quality pieces.
The Colts re-signed Marlon Mack to a one-year deal. Jason, you said that you believed Indianapolis would re-sign Marlon Mack.
Yeah, I do. It will be really educational, I think, this year to see he's coming back from an Achilles injury, which running backs do not come back from. They just haven't. And Mike and I have been talking in the studio. Mike is on the side of, like, he's OUT on Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack is done because running backs don't come back from this injury. He could very well be right because they haven't. But it's also a very small sample size of young running backs that are injured to come back. It did take Deonta Foreman a long time. He's like the only
other
young
example.
Basically 3 years. So we'll see. I don't
think
this...
Didn't Arian Foster come back in Miami from that injury? Or did he sustain the injury in Miami?
No, he had it happen in Houston, then he was back just for like two or three games and then retired.
Yep. Okay.
So he never actually came back.
But everybody, what people are wanting to know is, let's say he's moderately healthy, right? He's there, he's... Maybe not the same exact Marlon Mack, but he is active. He's ready for training camp. He's a part of the rotation. What does this do for Jonathan Williams? I saw so many people crying on their timeline.
What about, like, Jonathan Taylor, though?
Him too. Jonathan Taylor.
Well, Jonathan Williams is probably out.
Greater sign
for the
We're
Colts.
We're doing real well.
Was a Colt for a second.
Yeah, he was.
I have thought that Marlon Mack is coming back this whole time. And I have not been scared of Marlon Mack with Jonathan Taylor. I think Jonathan Taylor's going to be what he pretty much was to close the season at.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor's going to be a better quarterback, a better running back when they're not doing well today.
Oh, yeah.
What is going on? He's going to be a better running back when they're winning football games than when they're losing. Nyheim Hines still under contract, and what is Carson Wentz, and what is this offense? So, very few running backs that I think people would be more excited to have on the roster than Jonathan Taylor, and I don't think Marlon Mack coming back off an Achilles hurts it. I agree with you.
He is the backup. At the very least, Marlon Mack is coming in, and he is the backup to Jonathan Taylor without
question. It's a one-year deal.
Yeah, this is just kind of like try to regain some value before you go back out on the market because he's still very young.
And they still have Jordan Wilkins. And according to their GM,
he's a superstar.
The GM was saying, I envision a really special backfield when you have Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, Marlon Mack, and Jordan Wilkins, and to which every fantasy manager puked.
All right, here's a signing that really does matter to me. The Lions have signed Jamal Williams, formerly of the Packers, two-year, $7.5 million contract. Everyone wants DeAndre Swift to be locked and loaded, but Jamal Williams is a great pass protector. He's a great pass catcher.
Yes.
And he has a level of, I think, ferocity to his game that matches Dan Campbell and what this team wants to do.
Yes. Yeah, Jamal Williams, number one, Jamal Williams, super awesome dude. Like, if you haven't watched the interviews of Jamal Williams, he seems like a delightful human, very joyful. So I'm happy that he got a team. I was kind of hoping that he would, like, maybe go to Seattle, because him on the Seahawks would have been pretty fun. But this is a situation for Swift. Not that Swift is the starter. That's fine. Jamal Williams is the backup. But Jamal Williams is a good backup. And a backup that, like you were saying, Andy, will take passing work away from Swift. And the passing work, that's what changes things. That is the difference maker for a starting running back jumping into the top tier of fantasy football and just being a good fantasy football running back.
That's true in general. And now, if you add it to the specific situation of DeAndre Swift, it is the specific thing that gives him fantasy relevance, is his pass-catching work for a team that you don't expect to score a ton of touchdowns. So this is,
and to be losing a lot.
Right. So this is, very unfortunate for DeAndre Swift.
I don't know if this team's going to come into the season declaring Jamal Williams the backup as much as a compliment, as much as a part of a rotation. Like, Jamal may have real fantasy value relative to his undrafted status or late round status that goes under the radar if they're willing to invest this money.
I agree.
Emmanuel Sanders was released and now signed by the Buffalo Bills.
John Brown, replacement. Yeah. I mean,
and it's great because Gabriel Davis hype existed for 6 days. I was offered Gabe Davis and literally told the guy, I said, I'm interested in Gabe Davis, but they could just add a veteran. And a day later, they add Emmanuel Sanders, and it feels very, very similar to John Brown.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily care about Emmanuel Sanders, but I actually really like this for Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. I think that this is, you know, a solid veteran wide receiver that's just going to help out.
But John Brown, he signed a deal too.
Oh, good for Smoke.
With the Raiders.
They love fast guys.
They also re-signed Zay Jones.
Man. It's a one-year deal for John Brown, and John Brown is now the best wide receiver on the Raiders.
Yes, 100%. He could end up being Nelson.
How crazy is that?
He could end up being Nelson Aguilar from last year, who was very relevant for fantasy, caught a ton of deep balls and had big weeks. I think that's going to be what John Brown is.
Sneaky.
The opportunity here for Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs, I mean, like, come on, guys. I don't think it happens.
I would still put my chips on a Henry Ruggs trying to break out than I would probably John Brown in the veteran situation.
Okay. And I would put all of my chips into Darren Waller's pockets and say,
oh, my God.
take all my targets.
Seriously.
And here's an extra one for the road.
Yeah, you're right. Darren Waller rides again.
Yes.
Anthony Firkser re-signed to a one-year deal. He is the tight end to roster right now.
Yeah.
In Tennessee.
Yeah, he's...
I'm telling you, Ryan Tannehill really, really likes throwing him the football. He really does.
He out-targeted him the second half of the year.
Week five on, he out-targeted him.
But he... is
out-targeted Jonnu Smith, that is. For
yes,
those out
okay.
there. Jonnu Smith's going to get the bag. One-year deal for Anthony Firkser. More targets, receptions, and yards than Jonnu Smith. From week five.
People are excited for Firkser. He is not going to be in my sleeper list. He is not in my sleeper list.
I can't take it. Is it because he's not on your dynasty roster? Because Adam Trautman has done nothing, and Firkser has done something. How is he not on your list? He deserves a spot on your list.
What has Firkser done?
Firkser has had lots of fantasy-relevant games before.
You need to go and look what Anthony Firkser actually did. Yeah, he was the number
tight
one tight end.
8 for 113. 5 for 51. All right, that's it. 4 for 45.
Yes.
Read me Adam Trautman's career.
Oh, well, because Adam Trautman was a rookie.
Fight.
Yes, I apologize that the rookie tight end who was the backup has done nothing yet.
I will make you a water bet today between
Trautman?
Anthony Firkser
and
Trautman.
Oh, yeah.
Water bet.
I know I'm going to win that one.
Joke is on you because who likes water?
The trout.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
Does that mean that you're getting watered for?
Nope.
Yes, it does.
The trout man's getting watered.
Nope. I cannot wait for them to sign another tight end any day now.
They have no money.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. All right, the Giants you talked about, they signed John Ross. They signed Devontae Booker. They are needing to sign somebody more exciting. I'm sorry. That's not going to get it done.
No, but for real NFL, Devontae Booker as your backup to
Saquon.
That's a solid move.
Honestly, if these guys are involved in special teams, these could be good, real NFL moves for the Giants.
Yep.
The Chiefs re-signed Darrell Williams and released Damian Williams.
You were right, Andy.
Yeah, so Darrell is the backup.
Yep. And I honestly believe this was, for fantasy for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, this was the best case scenario. We knew one of them was coming back. Well, both of them coming back would have been brutal because you have a huge amount of variables. But Darrell Williams, he's a fine player. He's a fine role player.
They like
it. And they like it. But he doesn't have – Darrell Williams does not have the pass-catching chops of Clyde Edwards-Helaire or of Damien. So the fact that Clyde won't have to compete for that, that is exciting. And they just signed his name is escaping me, but they paid all the money for the guard. So I'm things don't bail yet on Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I agree.
I wouldn't bail on him, but I am curious what they do around the goal line. Because I know you guys talked about that with Damien Williams, but Daryl's still bigger than Clyde is.
And, yes.
And they trust him. And they trusted him in the playoffs. They had the injuries with Clyde. It could be a little bit 1-2 punchy there, and we'll see. They still have Darwin under contract, right?
Darwin?
I'm just bringing him up because
he should still be there, yes.
Well, because if Lev Bell's leaving and you know Damien's gone, somebody else is going to be. They always have like three guys there, so. Tyrod Taylor was signed to a one-year deal. Jacoby Brissett, one-year deal. Tyrod with the Texans. Jacoby with the Dolphins. Okay.
I want to say Tyrod's was $12 million.
It's up to.
Okay, up to $12 million. Because I was like,
It's team choice.
Right.
The thing about a lot of these contracts, when you see them, you're seeing the up to number, not the actual guarantee. NFL contracts, the guarantee is what matters.
Robert Tonyan was tendered at a second round level. He should stay on the Packers.
Yeah, he will.
That's great news.
You've got the Colts throwing out a second round tender on Moali Cox.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, he flashed. He flashed last year at several junctures.
And putting a second round tender on a guy that they're ensuring that no one's going to take Moali Cox away. Trey Burton is gone. Jack Doyle is baby hands. Jack Doyle
still on the roster. They could, if they need to, they can cut Jack Doyle to save a good amount of cap space. But I would imagine at this point they'll.
No, I think they'll keep him. But.
Yeah, they would only cut him to sign Zach Ertz after he's released, something like that.
Some offensive line moves. They really, really matter in the offseason. Trent Williams, dominant left tackle, now the highest paid in history. By $10,000. Do you know that?
Yeah, that's so funny.
Bakhtiari came out and said, petty AF. Because he outpaced him by $10,000.
It's exactly what I would do.
Oh, it's certainly what you would do.
Yeah. And then... So
Trent Williams is going back to San Francisco on a huge deal.
Yeah, and in addition to that, the 49ers agreed to terms with center Alex Mack. He is not what he once was, which is if not the best center in the league, but he's a good, solid veteran center. So the offensive line.
And he also knows Kyle Shanahan's system. He has played several times with Shanahan.
Three different cities now, right? He played with him, I think, in Cleveland, Atlanta, yes. And now San Francisco.
That is correct.
Rodney Hudson traded to Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
I wasn't planning on pushing. You want the button?
I do. Oh, yeah.
Nobody's ever been as hyped for a center as Jason for Rodney Hudson.
For a 31-year-old center.
Jason's like all into Rodney Hudson.
I am. He's going to change things. It's going to be great.
Having a great center is important. 49ers added Alex Mack.
Yep.
It's been probably a few years since we really highlighted, but we have gone through some of the statistical differences for a running game based upon the center position. It is massive.
Yes.
So all the... runs Cliff Kingsbury kept calling straight up the middle that never worked with a terrible center actually could be successful this year for whoever the running back is for the Arizona Cardinals.
And the Chargers have really improved their offensive line. They signed the best center on the market, Corey Linsley, formerly of the Packers, and then Matt Filer coming over from the Steelers as well, added, who's guard tackle. This was the worst offensive line in football last year, and they needed to do some things to protect their young quarterback.
And Austin Eckler should be able to do some massive work behind that line.
Matt Ryan's contract has been restructured.
Yet again.
This is very interesting to me because they cleared cap space for this year, which they were in need of, and that makes sense. But prior to this restructure, pretty much every draft mock draft I had seen, or at least half of them, had the Falcons getting a quarterback of the future. They, you know, it's not often you have a top five pick, and they have it. They've got the number four pick, and to be able to, you know, grab a good young quarterback is great. But now this move means that Matt Ryan's contract not only is massive this year, and they paid him, he's not going anywhere, but next year his cap hit would be $48.6 million. Like that's not okay. You don't cut him next year and have that dead cap. So that means to me that if I were managing the Falcons, I'm looking at Matt. I'm saying, okay, we've got a window to win with this team. You know, I did not believe this was the route they were going to go. I thought they were going to get a quarterback and kind of implode and rebuild.
Kind of important for Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, very important.
To know what to expect. You talk about buying years of guaranteed production from a player with Fitzpatrick for McLaurin for a year.
They could just go the Packers route, though.
And have the quarterback wait for multiple years.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. I did not like the move, thinking of the move for the Falcons, for them to move on from Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan has several years left, and I think that Matt Ryan is a top-tier quarterback in the NFL.
Trey Lance, if he went there. No. I know you don't like Trey Lance, but my point is he is exceptionally raw. You know what I mean? Like, he's not – if you need a quarterback to sit for 2 years behind a Matt Ryan, that's the type that you would grab.
Yeah, no teams, zero, want to rebuild in terms of head coaching staff, what they put on the field week to week. You even see the moves that Detroit's making, like them, hate them, whatever. You look at these as long-term projects, but this league, this game, the ball bounces your way in three games, and all of a sudden you're Washington making the playoffs when no one expects you to make the playoffs.
Right, but that's it speaks to like the insanity of Seattle actually trading Russell Wilson. How crazy it will be. I don't know if the Texans are going to trade Watson or not. I mean, that's its own situation. But just thinking of the actual team trading away a franchise quarterback, not that Matt Ryan is Deshaun Watson, especially for long term, but franchise quarterbacks are insanely difficult to find. We have 32 teams in the NFL. How many franchise quarterbacks actually exist?
Well, it's what makes Ryan Fitzpatrick's journey so hilarious in some ways.
Right.
Because you have teams that have struggled to find quarterbacks for years and years. Go back and look at the Bears quarterbacks since Rex Grossman got them to the Super Bowl. And by Rex Grossman, of course, I mean Brian Urlacher.
And Hester.
Yeah. But if you go look at that laundry list of just mediocrity, and then play, even this year when Bears fans see Ryan Fitzpatrick signed for the same money as Andy Dalton, like it just makes it – I know he hasn't made the playoffs, but it just makes it kind of crazy. Like Houston for years struggled with mediocrity.
Yeah.
Let Ryan Fitzpatrick go.
Cleveland before Baker. Like Baker looks like he could be a franchise guy. Before that, though, you always see the photo of the Browns fan with the jersey and it's just every single quarterback's name. So it's just, you have Matt Ryan. Why would you get rid of him?
It's hard to play quarterback.
Yes.
That's what I think it is. So, oh, did you see this? I'm going to talk about this, Jason, because we're about to close the show out.
Oh, brother.
The NFL execs have been in active discussions with potential partners to develop a digital collectible and NFT strategy. So for those of you out there in the NBA Top Shot NFT universe.
Let's go.
The NFL is going to figure
it
out.
Of course they are.
Well, you see, Mike, it'll make them money.
Yes, that's why of course they are.
Well, that's exciting.
And it will be fun.
You want to hook us up?
I'm in. I'm in.
That'd be fun.
Yeah,
be
NFL, if you need a partner.
Yeah.
The only thing that would bring me joy about this situation, like if they roll out a nice NFT product for the NFL, licensed moments type of thing, is the thought of Mike spending his money on Adam Trautman moments. I mean, those are going to be
they're
going to
be worth a lot.
Very special. All right, that'll do it for the show. More free agent updates coming next week. Lots of projections. Lots of arguments. It'll be fun.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.